Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And today we're going to talk about Eddie Long. Now, Eddie Long just passed away, and they say he passed away from stomach cancer. He was pretty sick, really. It looked like he lost about 70 or 80 pounds. He went from being a pretty good sized man to, it looked like he probably weighed 120 pounds or something right a few weeks before he died. I guess the last time he was at his church was, New Year's Eve, and that's the last time the people there saw him, and he passed away. But Eddie's had quite a history in the past few years, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But also we're going to talk a little bit about the inauguration yesterday and some of the things that happened there. So, a lot of things go on when someone's running for president, and so many people want to be attached to power, and sometimes they compromise what they believe or they don't really want to stand for the truth. And I hope in the case of Donald Trump, our new president, that God would surround him with righteous people, godly people that aren't afraid to tell him the truth, because there are some people that surround him that claim to be Christians, and they're not really Christians. They had this prayer service this morning from Washington, D.C., this Washington, D.C. cathedral there. It's kind of like a New Age cathedral. If you go and look, it took them quite a few years, actually, to build this building. It does have quite a bit of architectural designs. It's they did spend a lot of money to build it, and they had some unique stonework on that building. And some of the things that were on there, for instance, they have gargoyles on there, which gargoyles, for the most part, they look like little demons. And those things are on the building. And then today, today at the beginning of the prayer service. I don't know. There was like some crazy guy up there, and I thought it was kind of an odd way to begin a presidential prayer service. There was some guy on there. He was doing some kind of a weird chant, and he kept saying the same thing over and over. I don't know if he was trying to hypnotize them or what. It was so weird. I was like, when is this guy going to be quiet? Because he just keeps saying the same thing. And he sounded like some of these crazy Christians out there that they like to prophesy and they like to pretend that they're speaking in tongues and they say the same thing over and over again. And it's supposed to be the Holy Spirit. But this was so weird. I thought it was really odd the way that prayer service began. And, of course, there was quite an array of ministers there, some very conservative Baptist preachers and Elvita King, who I like very much. I think she's a real classy woman. She was there, and she's the niece of Martin Luther King. And they had, I think maybe it was Billy Graham's granddaughter, and then they had Jack Graham. They had David Jeremiah. They had some Hindu guy. They had some Muslim guy. they never showed the face of the guy that was doing the chanting in the beginning. I don't know who it was. And then they had a young girl sing. And, wow, they never showed her either. I couldn't see who was singing. But, boy, she was really anointed to sing, I'll say. And they even, after she sang, they got up and gave her a standing ovation, which she really deserved. She was terrific. I'm still trying to get the chat room set up. For some reason, I'm having trouble with this computer trying to get in there, but I'm going to try again. So just be patient, and we'll get that thing up. But it was an interesting day yesterday. At this inauguration, and it's strange today because they have these women marching, and there was a woman that got up just a few minutes ago. I was listening to it, and she was saying that she doesn't want Donald Trump to commit violence against her rights or against her body, and she wants to have abortions. I'm like, I think you're a little confused there, ma'am, because what about the woman that doesn't come out of the office? If the baby happens to be a little girl, what about that woman that doesn't make it out of the Planned Parenthood office? Anyway, I don't think the government has any business providing abortions or paying for people's abortions when, if you're not married, you need to practice abstinence. Then you won't have to worry about getting pregnant. And if you are married, you don't have to get pregnant. So, but they don't. They're saying we have a right to control our own bodies, but yet they won't control their passions. So, like, I'm supposed to be responsible for you getting pregnant? I only want everybody to be responsible for their lifestyle. Well, a major problem, isn't it? Because they have to take responsibility for their own bodies. They said, don't tell us what to do with our bodies. Well, don't tell me what I'm supposed to do with my bank account either. Oh, honest. You know, we live in a crazy world. These poor people, they're so mixed up and crazy. And even yesterday at the inauguration, you see these people protesting. So they don't want, we don't like Donald Trump, and we want to let them know we don't like him. And but so what do? They set a car on fire, and then they were bashing windows out with clubs. So excuse me, but personally, I'm wondering, there's all these police there patrolling the streets of Washington, yet nobody could stop people from starting fires and smashing out windows. I found that very strange. I don't know why they allow that, because it is against the law to do something like that, especially a fire. Somebody could really get hurt if some buildings happen to catch on fire. Yeah, this big, very expensive limousine, they set it on fire. So what do you think that proves to most people? It proves that you're an idiot. Nobody wants to listen to you or to your protesting. If you're going to try to hurt people, they were throwing rocks at the police. I don't get it. They should have had like 100 paddy wagons out there, and they should have hauled them all in, and that would have been the end of it. Why? I don't understand why rioting gets so out of hand that people start burning and looting, and the police and the National Guard, and nobody does anything about it. They just let them do it. I don't get that one. If I did that in my neighborhood, if I decided I was going to go outside and start smashing my neighbor's windows and setting their car on fire, guess where I would be? And I would be there for a long time. Nobody would have any mercy on me. So how do they get away with this? I don't know. I don't understand. Sometimes I don't understand law enforcement because there's law enforcement and then there's law enforcement. So yesterday, to me, they did do a good job of protecting everyone that was involved in the inauguration. Thank God everything went off without a hitch there, but yet they weren't doing a good job protecting the actual streets of Washington, D.C. And like I said, I don't understand it, because if I was a police officer and I saw somebody doing that, the handcuffs would come out, and that would be the end of the protest. It would be over. And I don't think you would be violating anybody's civil rights. The people that own those buildings and own those cars have civil rights too. So anyway, I'm still trying to get this chat room up. I don't know what's wrong with this thing, but in the meantime, I'm going to play this audio while I'm trying to get the situation settled with my chat room. But I got some audio of Eddie Long. And I saw him on Christmas Day. Oh, he looked terrible. He just looked terrible. And he got up there and he started telling people. And this is the thing that I couldn't understand. Now, here's a man that apparently he knows he's dying. He knows he's dying. He looks like he's dying. And he gets up there, and he can't stop conning. He can't stop pimping the gospel. He can't stop. He can't stop himself. He preached on some kind of seven blessings of success and the same old thing that you hear from all the other scam artists out there is about how this is your year, this is your moment, this is your time for a breakthrough, this is the time for your destiny. And it's all wrapped around an offering. And even during one of these services, one of his last services, when he's standing up there, and he's just standing up there talking, people start bringing up envelopes and laying them on the altar. Some guy comes up with some kind of a gold coin and hands it to him. And then Eddie jokingly says, well, is there anybody else that wants to give me anything or something like that? And then somebody else comes up with another gold coin and gives it to him. Oh, I thought to myself, yikes, this guy never stops, does he? I mean, he never stops. And another thing that he did at this service, which I thought was very disturbing, he said that the Lord gave him a vision or a prophetic word or something, and he saw that there was a woman in the congregation that day, and she was sleeping on the floor. Her children were sleeping in her bed because she didn't have a bed for herself. And so he said, is there a woman? You have three children. Is there a woman like that in here today? Well, nobody comes forward, of course, because there was probably nobody there with three children that didn't have a bed. There was probably somebody there without a bed, I guarantee you that, who was sleeping on the floor. But anyway, finally he says, well, maybe you don't have to have three children. If it's you and you have children sleeping in a bed and you're sleeping on a floor, please come forward. So then two ladies come forward, and he tells them that he's going to call rooms to go, and he's going to get them a bed. And so in the meantime, I guess maybe about, it looked like maybe seven or eight more women came forward that needed a bed. And no, it wasn't any big crowd that was coming forward because they needed a bed. There was other women there, I'm sure, that needed a bed. So he tells the other women, he says, no, this gate is closed. That's enough. So he sends the other women away. Now, I mean, that was the ministry of compassion, wasn't it? Oh, please. Can you imagine that somebody is actually desperate enough? First of all, it's embarrassing to have to go forward in a church service in front of everybody and say you're sleeping on the floor. And then for your pastor to shun you and tell you to go away. You know, I was waiting like just for some little ounce of repentance on this man's part. Oh, I was shocked. Anyway, I'm going to play this about 5-minute clip here, and then I'm going to try to get the chat room up while this is playing.
What he means is he brings us out so he can take us in. We always want to come out, and you don't know where you're going. So if you don't know where you're going, you're going back where you were taken out of. He wants us to rule, subdue, have dominion. How long are we going to let the throne just look like it looks? How come we don't have major things? I'm going to build bell towers right here in the phone. It's going to be the biggest building. I'm going to go ahead and put a date on the next 12 months. I'm going to be breaking ground. I'm just going to put in the atmosphere. Angels, architects, all y'all, come see me. We're going to do this thing as a monument to God. I just need you to understand that we have one thing in your untouchability. How come, and I've invited both, so don't get mad at me, I invited both candidates to church. None have 80% confirmed. So when you get, you don't get upset with me. Mr. T, come in. Still waiting on order. But I want you to be exposed to who might be running. You're not Democratic or Republican. You didn't come to take sides. And if you want to be president, you got to come by. some folk can say stuff and you remember it. Because your name's not big anymore. You get your name because you're not cash or check. Or a wire transfer. Now, I know y'all don't listen to me like you should, whatever. I tell all moms, you need to take off and be at the Kingdom Power and Glory Summit. There's a whole new money system for the world being developed, and I'm on the top of it, and I'm going to have them share it with you. So you won't be behind, you'll be in front. You won't get that anywhere else. It's already moving across the nations. It's been outlawed in this country because we're still trying to justify the non-value of the dollar. So you can go to work for your minimum wage and miss it. I don't waste your time. You need to register. I said that last week, maybe 5 of you registered. You can wait till hell freezes over if you know it, but don't be hating on me, what is your name? Don't be hating on me. You hear this all the time, but this is the time. It's prophetically been spoken to you. God, that's why I'm going to talk kingdom on Wednesdays and benefits on Sunday. Money has an assignment. And one of the greatest, he said, I've given your father over the birds of the air. We have given the airways to the devil. So those of you who are embarking in media, God's given you extra favor to control the airways. Those of you that went to the movie that we sponsored the other week, we don't have to wait on other folk to make our movies. We're the most creative folk on the earth. We didn't have nothing to eat, we knew how to take scraps. If I do want to say this, in front of something about 4 or 5 minutes. Please hear me. I'm standing here. I said, I'm still fighting some physical things. Not, if you get a tooth extracted, my son had his wisdom tooth extracted not too long ago, and he said, Jared, raise your hand. Jared turned 25 Friday. It's his birthday. And my baby boy got to me. The problem was your wisdom tooth.
That is really sad, isn't it? Because you know that you're probably going off to meet your maker pretty soon. And he's saying that, we're going to build a building, some kind of a skyscraper. And it's going to be like a memorial for God. Well, God's not interested in skyscrapers. There's been enough people that have built buildings. Now, I'm not opposed to people building buildings if you need a place to meet. But there's been enough people that have built buildings and the buildings wound up vacant and bankrupt. So this man at one time, his after he had this sex scandal, which the 4 of the young men that have accused him of molesting them have decided now that he settled a lawsuit with these men and paid them off. And now that he's passed away, they've decided that they're going to write a book about what happened with them and Eddie Long and how he molested them when they were teenagers. Really used them. So I guess it won't be pretty, but I don't know where he wound up. I don't know what happens. I can't say what happens to someone on their deathbed or if he ever really gave his heart to Jesus in the end. I don't know. All I know is what I saw a few days before he passed away, and it was disturbing, the fact that he couldn't stop himself from scamming his own people there in the congregation for money. Instead of repenting and instead of seeing some kind of really godly sorrow, because you think you're going to see that from somebody, when they look like they're going to die any minute. And that's really how he looked. I mean, the guy could barely stand up. And there's some videos on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, you can see some of these videos. Now, here's a clip that I have of Eddie Long from a few years ago. Now, this is a shocking clip. I'll play it, and then I'll comment on it. I don't know if you caught that. He says that the word of God is sperm. And then he says that some preachers can't impregnate anything because they have dead sperm. Talking about the word of God. This guy definitely had some issues. Who talks like that about God? Who would even say anything like that? Oh, please. Anyway, it's not up to the preacher to read the word of God for you. It's not up to the pastor for you to go to church on Sunday and the pastor to tell you what the Bible says. It's okay. Bible teachers are necessary, but that doesn't mean that they're 100% accurate all the time. You're supposed to read your Bible for yourself. You can't depend on some preacher to tell you, because most of them aren't telling you the truth. The only reason they're preaching is because it's a job, and it's a good gig if you can collect 10%. Even if you can collect 10% from 10 people, if you can collect 10% of 10 people's income, that could be enough for you to live on. So it can be very lucrative for these people that don't have any kind of education, or they don't have any kind of a skill. Their skill is to be able to talk. They know how to talk. They're smooth talkers. Eddie Long was very successful at talking. And he built himself quite a little empire over there in Lithonia, Georgia, before it all came crashing down. And he was accused of molesting these young men. And I don't think he ever really quite recovered from that. So it was downhill from there. And now Eddie Long passed away. I think it was last week that he died. And they're supposed to have some kind of a service for him there at the church. Supposedly they said they're going to bring the body there. Whether or not it's going to be an open coffin or whatever, or they're just going to bring the coffin there. And he lost quite a few members, but he still had a congregation, even after the homosexuality was revealed, which he denied. And even in the end, really, even if it was true, and I have no reason to doubt these young men, there was five young men in all. There was probably others that never came forth, but it would have been nice to publicly repent and tell the truth, especially to these boys that, well, they weren't boys, they were young men that were made to look like liars, and to apologize to the congregation. That would have been a good thing to do, especially if you know that you're dying. But I never saw that in the last video that I looked at of him live was on Christmas Day. And they said that he was there on New Year's Day. I didn't look at that one. And that was the last time he ever appeared at the church. But it's nice when you're a pastor and you have a congregation and you can just be open and honest with them and act with some humility, put down the pride, especially if you know you're a dying man. But I didn't see that. But like I said, I don't know what happened to him in the end, if he decided to really repent before the Lord and to make his peace with God. I know he was hanging around with people like Bernard Jordan, who claims to be a prophet, but he is a New Age psychic, really, and he was a protege of Reverend Ike, which is kind of like what Paula White reminds me of. She reminds me of Reverend Ike. And, but that's who R. Jordan studied under. And there's another really wicked person. There's even some pictures on the internet of him going to India, and he goes to India and he's hanging around with these Indian gurus, and they're dressed in their robes and they have that little dot in the middle of their forehead. That's like a Hindu thing or a New Age thing where people put sometimes ashes, or they paint a dot in the middle of their forehead. And he's dressed in the robe, and he's got the long hair, and he's got the beads, and And then people actually, Juanita Bynum has preached at his conferences as of late. Eddie Long, that lady Kim Burrell, and some other people that are associated with him. So when you see anybody associated with someone like that, that's somebody you want to stay away from. You definitely want to stay away from. Just like you want to stay away from any preacher, I don't care who it is, any preacher that tells you to send them an offering, because if you send the offering, then you're giving it to God and God's going to bless you. You want to stay away from people like that. We want a reformation and a revolution where people learn that you get everything from God by asking him. You don't have to sow any seeds or give somebody money to get things from God. We do that because we love people, and we want to do something nice for them just because we like them, not because we're trying to buy God's favor, which that's another thing that's free. So, but let me play another clip from Eddie here.
Just recalibrating myself, and like I said, I had some health issues, and God's healed me. Manifestation is coming through. When I woke up this morning, God expressed to me that there are some of you who suffer in this congregation of chronic pain. I to be controlled by painkillers. If I'm speaking, you jump in the aisle. There's a healing bond in here. While you're moving. While you're moving. Like the lepers were cleansed while they were moving. I declare pain cannot bombard the temple of the Holy Ghost right now. I've come through enough to carry a key of authority. And God would not have woke me up this morning to put that in the atmosphere from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet in the name of Jesus. Those who stepped out about the pain, meet me at the altar real quickly.
Do you
Now, this was probably about 2 months ago, and he's telling the congregation that he's healed. And he said that the Lord was telling me last night, and I had to come put it out in the atmosphere. Well, now, what is that supposed to mean, put it out in the atmosphere? I didn't know that we could. What do we put out in the atmosphere except we breathe, we take air in, we let air out. I didn't know we put anything out in the atmosphere. In other words, you know, he creates things when he had to come to church and he had to say the words, because then he was creating a reality. Well, it didn't exist. You know, the guy is dead. But yet they're probably still over there saying, well, you know, it was the devil. But the Bible says, and this is a comfort for us. I mean, it doesn't, when people, we lose people we love, we still grieve. But the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. We have an appointment with death. We can't change that. That's up to God. And then the judgment. So you can't put words out into the atmosphere. And then because you put words out there, then it has to come to pass. And somehow then God is obligated to obey your words. Well, no. Then what do we need God for? If we think that we can create our own realities, that doesn't exist. That's a New Age thing. That whole thing is creating your own reality through your words. But I also saw something interesting the other day when I was watching a news channel, and they had three of the hosts of this news channel sitting around this man who they called a mentalist, and also he was a psychic. So he says that he's going to tell them things about themselves. Now, I don't like to listen too much to hypnotists. They give me the creeps, really, but I just wanted to look at it for about a minute or two. And then he tells one of the ladies, okay, look at me. In other words, look in my eyes. He didn't say look at my eyes, but he's telling her, look at me. And then he snaps his fingers. So he wants to try to put her in some kind of a suggestive place, obviously. And then he starts telling her things about herself. And then he goes on to one of the other hosts there. And he basically does the same thing. Look at me. Snaps his fingers. And then starts telling him things about himself. But that was spooky, really. I mean, that stuff is spooky. So these are techniques, and I know I've mentioned this before, that some of these evangelists use too, where they mesmerize you through the television screen, or they mesmerize you when you go to the church, and they use finger snapping. And I know Randy White does this a lot. When he's preaching, he tells the people, now look at me. Come on now. Pay attention. Look at me. And he'll do that several times during a service. It's very annoying. If I was going to hear somebody preach, I definitely wouldn't want somebody to keep telling me to, hey, he goes like this, hey, look at me, pay attention. What? You know? I have to come to church to be smacked around? I don't think so. No. Yeah, they go for it, though. I don't understand. He's still got a congregation over there in Tampa. Still got a congregation. So, anyway, they're planning the funeral for Eddie. And who knows, you know, really, who knows what happened to him. But only God knows. Here I have a little letter. I have a letter here. This is from Rod Parsley, January 19th. Dear so-and-so, God made a plan for your blessing. You sow the seed and he brings the harvest. Sow your first fruits, the first and best of what he has blessed you with. And then he quotes a scripture here. He's got Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Now, I don't know about you, but me, I don't put my money in a barn. No. And then it says, and your vats will overflow with new wine. I don't have a vat in my house. I don't have a vat in my backyard. I doubt seriously that Rod has a vat in his yard, or I don't think he's got a barn over there at World Harvest. But, yeah, he quotes that scripture that's about money. Now, he's telling you that's about money. So now he says, now in the first month of the new year is the critical time to sow your first fruits offering and put first things first. Make God number one in your life. Please, don't wait another moment to activate this promise to honor God with your first fruits and reap the harvest. Do it in the first month of the year. Now, everybody, pay attention here. Pay attention because you don't want to miss this. January 31st is the deadline. Plus, Joni and I, and that's his wife, are fasting and praying for you. Oh, please don't. No, I don't want you fasting and praying for me. No, please, because I don't know what God you pray to. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ, that's for sure. Be sure to submit your prayer needs now, and we will stand with you in faith, believing God to move in your life. Then why pray? Don't look, I have to send you some money for you to pray for me. I can stay home and pray for myself. I can save my money. But yet, see, here's the power of suggestion at work here, because he's telling you that you have to give this first fruits offering, but yet he says that, and then out of the other side of his mouth, he says that send in your prayer needs, and we will stand with you in faith, believing God to move in your life. So why pray? I'm just going to send the offering. Rod and Joni, you don't have to spend your time praying. You don't bother. Just don't bother, because it's not necessary. Why should you work? Then he says, I am praying for you whether you sow a seed or not, of course. But I have seen the evidence that a first fruits offering can move the heart of God. You have? Wow. Wow. He's seen that the first fruits offering moves God's heart. I don't know. Is there any scripture for that? Can please, if you have a scripture that says that when I bring God the first fruit of my money in January, and I bring it to the pastor, because God doesn't need it, and I don't know what he would spend it on, but Rod needs it, obviously. So this, there's lie number one, is Rod's telling you it's going to God, but no, it doesn't move. It's not moving the heart of God. It's moving Rod's heart. It moves his heart. That's his heart it moves, because he loves that money. Maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to sow your first week's salary, or maybe you will want to sow your first month's salary. Sounds like Paula White's brother, right? They must be related. Or perhaps the Spirit is leading you to sow a portion of your salary. No, the Spirit is not leading anybody, because I don't know of anybody. I never knew of one person in my entire life, and honestly, I never knew of one person in my life as we were conversing that said to me, "Susan, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me right now about sowing a first fruits offering." I never, ever had one friend ever tell me that, ever. The only person or people that I ever had tell me that were preachers. Preachers were telling me that. And then you had to give it to them. But so it's not the Holy Spirit. It's that spirit that lives in Rod Parsley, that spirit of greed. Anyway, then he says, "As I receive your generous first fruits offering, I will thank you by sending you 7 minutes of wisdom and peace, my brand new 40-day guide that can set the trajectory of your entire year." No, didn't he just say that if we sowed the first fruits, it was going to set our year in motion? But now he's telling you that when you get his series here, his 40-day guide, that's actually going to set the trajectory of your entire year. "And you will also receive my 2-message teaching series, God's Number One Plan for Your Success." Oh, boy, I can't wait. "Discover the powerful secrets of God's perfect plan and the burden of wealth." Oh, wow, that's a good hook, right? Oh, yeah, he knows most people want wealth. They don't want to work for it. They just want to send Rod some money and get it. Well, it's not going to happen that way. "We are praying and fasting. We want to see miracles happen for you. But put first things first. Offer your first fruits to the Lord today. Your breakthrough partner, Rod." Oh, Rod. Honestly, can you imagine growing up in that family? I thank God that I came from a family, two parents that worked hard. They didn't scam anybody out of anything. They got up every day and went to work and took care of their family. They didn't beg anybody for money. They didn't give people sob stories about all their problems. And they had problems. They had problems. But they took their responsibilities seriously. And they took care of the family. They went to work every day, and they did what they had to do. But could you imagine growing up in this kind of a family where your mother and father are scam artists? And then they're actually, my mother and my father would never raise me to behave in such a way, ever, ever. And if I ever showed them that I was doing these kinds of things to people, oh, they would let me have it. They would let me have it. But no, not Rod and Joni, not Rod and Joni Parsley. No, they're training their children to take over their ministry. They even have their daughter, Ashton, scamming people now on television. And so no, Rod and Joni, don't pray for me, please. And, there's another one that's playing fast and loose with the truth over there. Rod has been recovering from throat cancer. And here God has been so merciful to Rod Parsley and also given him a time to repent. And yet he writes these kind of letters to people. He doesn't stop his scamming for 1 minute. Ministers of the gospel, really, we're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to trust God to meet our needs. And even if we have to pay... get a job and pay to support our ministries ourselves, if we're really dedicated to what we're doing, we're going to do it. But we're certainly not going to steal from people to have a ministry. Oh, it's ridiculous. But anyway, these are the kind of people we want to stay away from in 2017. And I also have a letter here from Morris Cirillo. Same kind of stuff. Same kind of stuff. They're all jumping on this First Fruits gig because it's working. You know, it works. It sounds holy. But then again, they just count on the fact that you're not going to read your Bible. You're just going to trust them. And no, we don't want to. We don't want to trust these people. No, we don't want to trust these people at all. We don't want to trust these people. But let's see. I wanted to talk about, yeah, they're always talking about, and I noticed that they had a lady on the Word Network. Now, that's a crazy network, honestly. I call it the Unword Network. But they want to tell you that doctrine doesn't matter. And they also say things like bypass your mind. Rod Parsley likes to say this. Don't even think about it. In other words, when I'm telling you to send an offering, don't even think about what I'm saying. Just do it. That's what he says. Just do it. Don't let it bypass your mind. But God gave me the ability to think. He gave me the ability to reason. And certainly when we go to church, we don't want to leave our mind outside of the door and come in there and just be open to any suggestion that the person inside the building wants to make to me. Because these people, they have to have a seared conscience. I thought it was interesting, too, that Paula White, in one of the interviews that she did for NBC News a few days ago, the interviewer, which these reporters, they do a terrible job because they allow these people to come on there. And, for instance, the reporter asked her a question, are you a heretic and a charlatan? And, of course, Paula says, and she's got these her bottom lip is all full of Botox. It looks like it's going to explode any minute. It's so full of Botox. It's all crooked and swollen. And she says to the lady, oh, I'm not a heretic. No, absolutely not. Well, a good reporter would say, would have evidence. Of course, they put up a screen with her talking about selling a seed. Briefly, they put up a screen of her send $1,000, send this much. But the reporter never came back to her with a retort. Or asked her, well, what about this then? What about almost every program you do on television, you're telling people to send money so that God can bless them, which Paula basically denies in these interviews that she does. And then the reporters, really, they basically just give her a pass. But anybody with any common sense could go and look at her teachings on YouTube or watch her television program and see exactly that's what she's doing. Is there's not a program that doesn't go by that she doesn't tell somebody to sow a seed to get a blessing from God. Not one program. I don't think there's ever been a program she's done where she hasn't taken up an offering and promise some kind of a blessing in return. But you see, that's why I call her the Reverend Ike of the crazy Pentecostals, because that's how he was. He was a very, very good manipulator. He was a New Age preacher. Do you hear them when they like to talk a lot of about the shift is coming. Please tell me what what that means. What does that mean that the shift is coming? I don't understand that. All of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, I'm going to wake up in the morning and a shift is going to happen in my life and everything's going to change. I don't understand this. I don't even understand how people buy into this kind of thing, because for most of us, we get up in the morning and we have work to do. We have everybody has a job that they do of some kind. And you go to your job, you get your paycheck at the end of the week. You hope you get a raise or you hope you get a better job or whatever. And that's how your shift comes. But they like to tell you that there's going to be some kind of a miracle thing that happens when you send this money, and that all of a sudden things are going to shift for you in your favor. But none of that makes any sense, really. You know, the Bible says, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here about doctrine, because these people don't preach sound doctrine. And then if you try to say anything to them about their doctrine, or you try to correct them, they get all bent out of shape, and they call you a hater, and among other things. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. I guess they don't like that scripture, because the Bible says we're supposed to correct false doctrine. So, yeah, I mean, if the Bible says it, then that's what we're supposed to do. Regardless of what Rod Parsley says, remember when Paul Crouch Sr. was alive, he used to call people that wanted to have strong doctrine, he used to call them heresy hunters. That's what he used to call them, heresy hunters. Here's some other scriptures about doctrine. Job 11:4, for thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. Amen. Proverbs 4:2, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Amen. Isaiah 29:24, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Well, I mean, it even says it right here. If you err in your spirit, you'll come to understanding when you learn doctrine. That's why we have the Word of God, because without the Word of God, we don't have any sound doctrine. We don't have any sound doctrine, and that's how we get led astray. Because the false teachers and the false prophets, that's what they count on. They count on you not studying your Bible, not checking out what they say and comparing it to the Word of God. So if it doesn't compare to the Word of God, and they persist with their strange fire and their strange doctrine, then you have to leave it aside, and you can't go back to it. Once you leave it aside, you cannot go back to it. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? That's a good one. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing that they lie in wait to deceive. They pretend they're one thing, but they're really another. But usually they do give themselves away, because it's very hard for them to be honest, most of these people. 1 Timothy 1:10, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Don't let them tell you doctrine doesn't matter. Don't we hear that? So, well, don't, doctrine doesn't matter. And you don't have to be so judgmental. Well, I'm not being judgmental. Either we believe God's word is true or we don't. And I tend to believe God. Amen. I think he knows a lot better. He knows a little bit more than me or anybody else. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Titus 2:1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Oh, there's so much on this. Oh, there's just so much. Anyway, get out your computer or your Bible concordance and look up the word doctrine. There's just so many scriptures. And then you'll have a way to come back if they accuse you of being judgmental or you don't have any love. You have to show them what the importance of sound doctrine really is. You know, it is important, and it's something that we have to pay attention to, because we live in very strange days. When you can see multiple thousands of people coming out to march for their right to have abortions, now that's strange. And these poor people are so confused. They bring the leader on of Planned Parenthood, and she's telling them that we have to have these Planned Parenthood centers because they help women with their health. But like I said before, yeah, they help the woman. The woman might be going into one of these centers, and they have another woman that they're in their stomach, a little baby girl. They're not worried about the rights of the baby girl that's going to not be helped by going into that health center, the one that might not be coming out of there alive. So, but that's how confused these poor people are. And as we go on with the days ahead, and we try to take a stand for strong Christianity and strong Christian values, some of these people are going to get very, very violent. For anybody that wants to take a stand for righteousness, and we're seeing that, and that's why we need to pray for our leaders, because even when Barack Obama was elected, and I wasn't a fan of Barack Obama, only one of the main reasons I wasn't a fan of his was because of his abortion policy and his the socialism and those kind of things. I wasn't a fan, but I realized that when he was elected, God says that he puts people in places of leadership. So I had to accept it. What was I going to do? That's what the Bible says, and it's the same thing with Donald Trump. God put him there. I'm not going to say it's because, you know, he's going to rescue us from all our problems or whatever, but we need to pray for him. And a lot of these fruits and flaky Christians are trying to get around power and to influence him, and he needs people around him that truly will not compromise their Christianity just to have a relationship with him. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that there are a lot of compromisers around him. And if you don't love this man enough to tell him the truth, then you're no friend of his. because I think he can handle the truth, you know. I think he can handle the truth. I think the church disappoints him and Christians disappoint him and he thinks that they're one thing and then they turn out to be another thing, which probably some of them will eventually prove to him, it's going to be a great disappointment to him. And if he had any inclination toward giving his heart to Jesus in a real way, because I've never heard him personally make a profession of faith as being a born-again Christian. So until I hear it from him, like I've said before, I'm not buying into this whole thing. I don't care what Paula White says, because Paula doesn't know Jesus herself. So how is she going to lead anybody to Jesus? Because you can't know Jesus and be a scam artist. No, it doesn't fit. It doesn't go together. You might have started off being a scam artist, say, and you didn't know any better for about a year or two when you started out your ministry, but this has been going on for over 20 years. So Christianity and Jesus don't mix with scamming to get offerings. That doesn't mix. So, Paula White, you're not saved. So you can't lead anybody, especially Donald Trump, to Jesus if you're not saved yourself. So this man needs our prayers. He needs good people around him, men that won't compromise, men that aren't afraid that if they tell him the truth, he's going to tell them you're fired or anything like that, because we have to take a bold stand for Jesus in the days that we're living in. We're living in perilous times, and If we can't stand up for our faith, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We're going to be in a lot of trouble, and mostly a lot of trouble with God, because compromise is a funny thing. Sometimes we want to compromise because we want to fit in. We don't want to lose friends. We like the church we're going to, so we don't want to be shunned and ostracized. And of course we know that that would happen to most of us if we were in one of these churches and then we started speaking out. I see one of the comments in the chat room here. Your concern about sound doctrine is, yes, they say you have a religious spirit or a critical spirit. Oh yeah, I know. That's true. They do. Yeah. I'd rather have a Bible spirit. Amen. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few months, to see what happens in our country. And, I know, growing up in the area where I grew up in the early 1950s, we were surrounded by factories. There was all kinds of factories in our neighborhood. And the factories actually did start closing up in the 50s. Some of them did start closing up even back then. And then little by little, most of the manufacturing that was done in this country started leaving. I know that I was looking to get some aspirin one day, and I asked the pharmacist, I said, look, I want some aspirin that's made in this country. I don't want aspirin from China. And he said, they don't make it here anymore. They don't make aspirin here anymore. So we get Chinese aspirin. Who knows what's in it? And even flatware. If you look for flatware, most of I don't think there's anybody making flatware in this country anymore either. Very few things are actually made here anymore, and it would be nice to bring back manufacturing plants and bring back industry, but then again, you have to start training people too, because some of these jobs require skills. Go to a shoe store now and see if you can find leather shoes. Very hard. Very, very hard now to find 100% leather shoes. They're giving you now plastic plastic boots, plastic shoes, and they're not cheap, $50, $60. Whoever thought, remember, we used to buy plastic shoes back in the day for $15, $20. You know, like junk shoes, because most people didn't even want to wear plastic shoes. They wanted leather. But now you go to the store, and, I'm looking at a pair of boots, $120, man-made, $120. These are not even leather boots. Try to find a coat anymore that's 100% wool. Almost impossible, unless you want to pay $500, $600. Maybe you could get 100% wool. Most of the even cotton. When I was in Penny's a few weeks ago, I'm looking at the clothing. Very hard to find 100% cotton clothing. So little by little, our products are changing. They're not getting any better. Maybe there's hope to bring back some manufacturing, but then again, you have to train people and bring back some of these skills that now have been lost through the closure of many of the manufacturing plants that once were thriving in this country. We were known for our manufacturing, the Industrial Revolution, and some of the things that happened, but I hope people can get jobs and they can get better jobs and everybody can get a better standard of living. That would be nice. And I hope it happens. I hope that they can turn things around and make a change for the better. But, of course, nothing is as important as us having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we as Christians, we know that we do things with integrity. We believe in hard work. We believe in taking care of our families, and so we have kind of an edge on that, and that's the kind of example that we want to be to the world. So people wouldn't have to stop having this sense of entitlement that the government owes them something, or the church owes them something, or society owes them something because they were born. Well, that it's not a good attitude, and that's the kind of attitude that you definitely won't have any success in life, because hard work and overcoming the circumstances in our life, and we've all had to face circumstances in our life that weren't pleasant, but we have to try to overcome our circumstances and ask God to strengthen us and to help us to live every day and to get by every day. And we put our faith and trust in God. Amen. Well, anyway, that's our program for today. So if you have any questions, you can email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. Don't forget the website, Prophetic News, and our YouTube channel, which I need to update. It's under my name, Susan Puzio. And also the book that I have, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And that's on Amazon, and it's on Barnes & Noble. It's on Lulu. There's a Kindle version available. I spent many, many years researching for this book. I tried to do the best job possible with it to give people accurate information. And it is a blessing. Let me see. I think I have a phone call here before we go. Let me see. This person has a comment. Hi, do you have a comment?
Yes, God bless you. I'm listening to your show about prophetic news, and my name is, God bless you, Miss T. And I appreciate the message, but when you say the word entitlement, it's such a political statement. It just didn't hit my spirit right. I think it comes from a place that's unfiltered by the spirit. Because if we are the children of God and we are the sons and daughters of God, and He said that we should have life and have it more abundantly, then we as the children of God expect nothing less than abundant things. Prophecy to me is the word of God. Every word of God that's from the original Aramaic translation that's been filtered through the King James doctrine, the true word of God is about liberty. It's about freedom. It doesn't take away from the failure of man to respect the life of God and the life that God has created in each individual. And woman of God, I believe that's what the problem is. The problem that's been in God's word, the intolerance of man to accept the existence of others that may be different than he is. And as a result, on the prophetic edge, the intolerance of man is intolerance of claiming ownership of God's world and his land. Because it said God created the heavens and earth. That intolerance, I have heard prophetic trumpets sound, because we see it still in today, whether it's wrapped up in politics or it's wrapped up in the divisiveness of man in his religious doctrines, capitalized, whether he's evangelical, Episcopalian, or whatever.
Let me ask you a question. So God said he came to give us life more abundantly, but what does that mean to you?
What it means to me is freedom to be able to access whatever it is that's in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, well, how do you think you access it?
Well, you access it through, he says, through the scripture. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's how I access it.
Yeah, but how do you access abundance?
You access abundance from the gift that God has given you. But at the same time.
Yeah, through hard work. Through work.
Right, but you're saying through hard work. But if hard work is prevented and has been contaminated by the intolerance of man to
It has not.
Yeah.
Because anybody could work. I mean,
well,
you said
anybody can work. Policy has it that
No. Look, if you need a job, okay, let me tell you something. My parents, when my father was growing up and he needed a job, he went and looked for soda bottles and garbage cans.
Okay,
get the deposit, okay?
Right.
All right, my mother worked in a factory for 30 cents an hour.
Right, but where did your
father
come from?
They did whatever they had to do. You can find a job. You can take care of people's children. You can take care of the elderly. You can do grocery shopping. So, I mean, there's jobs. Nobody's stopping anybody from working. Because you can do all things through Christ. And my parents weren't Christians. You know, they didn't even know the Bible.
Everybody,
they started working and doing whatever they could.
This is a title of Christian in the name of.
Yeah, but you can't blame people. You can't.
Right.
That's the problem, okay? Because it's up to you. It's up to you to do what you have to do. I can't be responsible for you and your family.
I'm saying,
you know what I'm saying?
Grabbing president in the house and call him the president and tell everybody to tolerate them in the name of
Christ. I'm not dependent on the president, okay? I don't care who's president, because it doesn't affect my life. I'm going to work and do what I have to do. It doesn't affect me, because I'm not looking for the president to solve my problems, you know? I don't care who the president is. My president is the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes care of me. I mean, God, we have to have a government, and we have to have people in authority to run the country, obviously, but I'm not looking for the government to solve my problems. And that's what I mean by the sense of entitlement. And nobody stops anybody from working. It's the same thing where a group of Christians were meeting at a function in Washington, D.C. the other night, and they were saying that, we're going to bring God back into this country, and They wanted to stop God from being in this country. Well, who can stop God from being in this country? I didn't know anybody could stop God from being anywhere. Anyway, it's not up to the government to put God in the country. It's up to the church to tell people about Jesus. So, the lady hung up on me. But that's the thing that I'm trying to get through to people is we're responsible for our own life, and we have to try to make the best of what we have. And all of us have faced some kind of difficulty in our life trying to get it together. But you make a way. You make a way. And God says he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. But anyway, I'm not I thank God for the government, and I pray that they're successful in whatever they do, trying to help people, but trying to help people stand on their own two feet. And because don't you get a good sense of accomplishment yourself when you know that you've done something on your own? It does give you a good sense of accomplishment. But anyway, I thank the sister for calling in. But that's what happens. People get angry. But you should be able to have a dialogue without getting angry. And anyway, we have to quit blaming other people. This is what happens in life. We're going to get hurt by people. It's going to happen. We're going to get disappointed by people. But then eventually it's up to us to pick ourselves up and try to get ourselves together. I say that. Look, I don't care where you live or what you do. There's people that need services. There's people that need their houses cleaned. They need babysitting. They need elder care. You can do grocery shopping. You can wash your neighbor's windows. You can do lawn mowing. There's lots of jobs you can create on your own without waiting for somebody to come and give you a job. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do while you're waiting to get the job that you really want. But that's a big problem that we have in society today, and we have the same thing in the church, is that people just think that it's going to fall out of the sky or something, but it's not. You know, it's just not going to happen. So, I mean, hopefully we can create a dialogue and we can change, have a mindset change. And I think that would be a good thing. Amen. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And bless you today. And yeah, I know. I mean, that's it, the word entitlement. But it doesn't only apply to people in the secular world. It applies to people in the church, because we have the same thing that's carried over from the world has carried into the church, where people expect to go to church and they expect to tithe and they expect to sow seeds and first fruits and Passover offerings, and then they expect that the money is just going to drop out of the sky, because they're entitled, because they've done everything they think they knew to do to move God on their behalf. But it doesn't work that way. The way people accumulate wealth is they work. They work every day. They pay their bills. They don't get into debt unnecessarily. Obviously, people do face things in their life where it's not 100% their fault that they got into debt or they lost their job or whatever. But that's not what I'm talking about. But we have to stop that sense of feeling like the world owes us something because we were born. It doesn't, you know, really. We ask God for help every day to get us through the day and to get us up and out of the house and to have to do whatever we have to do to make sure that we're provided for and our families are provided for. So who's going to do it, really, if we don't do it? Who's going to do it? We know that we can't depend on human beings to meet our needs, because that's not going to happen. And we have to depend on God to meet our needs. And without God, how would we make it, really? How would we make it? But anyway, I hope maybe some of the things that I said got through to the sister. And anyway, so God bless you all. We'll see what happens tomorrow in the football games. What do you think is going to happen? Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers are saying that they've come down with some kind of a mysterious stomach bug. What do you think about that, huh? What do you think about that? Well, I don't know. Do you think it's a conspiracy? We'll see. Anyway. Okay. Vince says today and tomorrow. I didn't know there was any games on today, but anyway, we'll look. So remember, everybody, the most important thing in your life is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus today, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive your sins. Repent and ask him to forgive your sins. The Bible says in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. First, you're born of the Spirit of God, and then you must be born again. Jesus said in the book of Romans that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess your sins today. Believe that the Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He was resurrected from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. And don't forget to tune into my brother Vince's program, Truth Sharks. Yeah, Brother Vince, Truth Sharks, and my other brother, the Wolf Tracker. He has Pagan Bishops or PaganBishops.com, his book, and I think the other radio program is Jackass Bishops. Anyway, that's available. So, all right, everybody. Obviously, we have our work cut out for us, don't we? But hopefully, we've helped some people today. And don't forget to tune in next week, all right? We'll have another program for you. And if you have any show ideas and any comments, don't forget to email me at propheticnews.com, and I will answer you. So be blessed today. Bye-bye. Thank you.